Welcome to the Scariest Things Podcast, Episode 8. Movies that we're looking forward to in 2018.
Because we're not looking forward to anything from 2017. 2017 is a wash.
2017 was a great year for horror movies.
Great year for horror. There was other things that happened not so great.
No.
But great year for horror.
It was a horrifying year kept with some
great
horror movies.
Yes.
We have a true out-and-out horror movie that just got nominated for Best Picture in Get Out.
Golf claps, everybody.
So hats off to Jordan Peele and yes. Daniel Kaluuya and everybody involved with that production.
And Rod, who did, while Get Out got lots of accolades, Rod got stung. No Best Supporting nod for Rod, which is a shame.
The TSA deserved better.
Crime.
Yes. And we also got a horror, I won't say it's a horror movie, but horror-themed movie with The Shape of Water, which had a fabulous Creature of the Black Lagoon reprise. Going to be better than anything that Universal tries with Creature of the Black Lagoon. Because this was, if you haven't seen it, the hype is real. It is a fantastic movie. Not a real scary movie. Michael Shannon's scary. The monster's not super scary.
Right.
Well, Michael Shannon's the monster. So
the next Universal one coming out is The Wolfman, if I'm not mistaken. This is what I've heard.
Okay.
This is what I've heard.
I think we won't
be covering that tonight.
No. I think Universal Monsters, The Mummy, kicked him in the nuts. And I think that they are going to go back and do a real come to Jesus. What are we doing here?
I think, unfortunately, they got kicked in the nuts when they were filming.
Yes.
The Wolfman.
Oh.
So we may get The Wolfman, or the Mummy Part 2 in the form of The Wolfman.
Yeah, a movie that's not coming out this year, but is also part of the Universal Monsters, is Bride of Frankenstein.
Right.
One of the great Golden Age movies. Angelina Jolie was supposed to be in it. She's pulled out.
Yeah.
They're looking to recast it. Be careful with that movie. That's one where, you know, a good luck to Universal. You have the most wonderful treasure trove of monsters movies to pick from, but they have to remember they're monster movies.
Right.
They're not action movies.
Yes.
And they tried to pull a Marvel switcheroo on us, and apparently the fans smelled that dog for what it was.
Big diff.
Big diff. So 2017 in a wrap. I in preparation for this podcast, I've been doing, or not just the podcast, but our website, have been reviewing a lot of great movies from 2017 that you might have missed. So I'll quickly run through some of these. Some that you've probably heard of. Happy Death Day.
Yep.
is a really fun Groundhog's Day meets slasher movie. A Dark Song, which is for Mr. Campbell here, I highly recommend. It's a slow burn occult movie.
Right.
Yeah. Devoid of jump scares, but full of the haunting build and a great close. A zombie movie that I never heard of until I stumbled into Movie Madness.
Red Sand.
Yeah, it stains the sands red.
It stains the sands red. Yes.
It may not have even ever had a theatrical release,
right.
But it's a zombie movie. It's a one-on-one zombie chase movie where the zombie chases our heroine through the deserts of Nevada, and it's great to look at. It totally surprised me. I had no idea where that came from. That was wonderful. Mayhem. Which gives me hope for Asian American actors in a leading role, because Glenn from The Walking Dead, Steven Yeun, got to play a disease-addled killer and having a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend that. The Void, which we've discussed.
Super good. Although I think that might have been 2016. I think it actually came, I think it was released in 2016, but I think it became popular on Netflix 2017.
Right. Yeah, I think to the broader audience, it was just a blip on the, it might have been released in 20 theaters in the country, and then it went to video in 2017.
Right. So what do you think, though? Did you see any, since you have been binging,
mm-hmm.
since you've been consuming everything that 2017 had to offer, do you see any Do you see any themes? Do you see any commonalities?
Yeah,
is there an upward trend? Is it a downward trend?
I think what's clear is that there are two movie houses or production companies that have grabbed a hold of
Blumhouse
and A24.
Yeah,
right. So
I think we may get to both of those tonight, right?
Yeah, they do. You know, and if you haven't checked out our website, there's a wonderful interview with Jason Blum who really talks about how his philosophy is the anti-Hollywood pitch, because normally the Hollywood pitch is, okay, you want to make this movie? What? Name me five other movies that are like it so I know that this movie will succeed.
Right.
Jason Blum's philosophy is, if I want it, if I've never seen this kind of movie before.
Right.
And he also, they deliberately keep the cost down in their films. I can't think of a Blumhouse movie that cost more than $15 million.
Right.
Whereas your superhero type movies, you're talking $200 million, and then it's like these little horror movies, when you get the right cast, the right director, and the right story, it can make a lot of money. And yeah. I think Universal's picked up on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of time. Fox is going to try and dabble on that with their X-Men stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's, I think the trend is actually the bigger movie houses looking at A24 and Blumhouse and going, we can, if we do a good horror movie, it doesn't have to be bottom of the barrel straight to video stuff. Release a theatrically made movie, something like Don't Breathe, something like Get Out,
yeah,
or The Innkeepers.
Well, it's the Steven Spielberg treatise from a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember that. Steven Spielberg wrote this big long treatise for Hollywood and said, hey, guess what? Even though he's guilty of all this, he said, you guys are doing it all wrong. You're spending $200 million on a film that maybe grosses $400 million, or God forbid, doesn't even gross $200 million. He said, instead of doing one film for $200 million, you should do 20 Black Swans for $15 million.
Yeah.
And you end up with way more money, way more cred, way more interesting ideas, and you break a lot more people into the industry. Yeah.
And it's a lot less risky.
Right, and it's a lot less risky. All right, so with that, let's start.
That's what I'm seeing coming forward, and I've got a number of these kinds of movies on my to-see list.
Let's get into the fearsome foursome.
Which is meant to be extended, plus a little
fearsome pussy. Foursome plus one. Or two. Or three.
So.
Or four.
So, Mike, why don't you... I've done plenty of talking.
Do you want me to start?
Why don't you go ahead and what's in your list?
Well, my first... I'm going to go... speaking of my... This is my plus one.
Yeah.
So, this is two. This is a twofer because it's the same friggin' movie twice. I'm going with... One is... The release date is August of this year. August 10th, 2018. The other... Who in the hell knows? The first is Deep Blue Sea 2.
Oh, wow.
Involving a shark conservationist who is invited to consult on a new top secret project run by pharmaceutical billionaires.
Okay.
That's scary. The reason I'm picking Deep Blue Sea 2. Mm. And the reason is, when Deep Blue Sea 1 came out, our local paper, The Oregonian, promptly ran out and said Deep Blue Sea gets an F, and I said,
no,
wait a second, if this film gets an F, I gotta see it, because if something gets an F, that means somebody has such an adverse reaction to it that I need to see what that adverse reaction was.
It had one of the best surprise kills in any movie.
Maybe ever.
Yeah, Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
Is Sam Jackson getting chomped into two pieces probably, 15 minutes into the film? Yeah. 20 minutes into the film?
In the middle of a classic Sam Jackson speech.
In the middle of a classic Sam Jackson speech. So, yeah, I say Deep Blue Sea. I mean, if they're smart enough...
If they're as smart as the sharks.
Those are smart sharks. Those are smart sharks. And these sharks... are apparently even smarter than the original sharks. So, but if they're smart enough to draw on some of the fun stuff that made the first one so successful, I think they'll do well. So my plus one here is the Meg.
Ah, okay. All right, we climbed. That's my
all right. Yay!
Talk the Meg. Okay,
another crossover. Yeah, the Meg sounds really interesting. Although when I read, so this is Jason Statham is in the role of the Meg, and you know if you've seen Jason Statham, if you've seen Transporter, if you've seen Transporter 2, if you've seen any Jason Statham movies, you know what you're in for, and he's not the best actor, but I think he secretly has fun with a lot of this stuff, and the storyline that I got after doing a pinch of research on this basically involved a wealthy Saudi Arabian prince who wants to create some sort of Jurassic World type thing, so he hires world-renowned biologist Jason Statham to go and collect all these undersea beasties from around the world. But then when I started reading up a little bit more on it, I got kind of some very subtle differences in terms of what the plot actually is.
It's actually a book right now.
Yeah, it is a book. It started out as a book, but who in the hell knows what this is going to end up being? Oh, so, and Eric's holding a Meg.
I have a Meg.
For those of you, we will feature this on the website tomorrow.
It's a look. Megalodon tooth, and this thing, my friends, it's about the size of my hand. it is a, you know, actually, fun fact: you can get these things fairly inexpensively.
Yeah.
But yeah, the biggest shark. This is a 70-foot great white shark,
mm-hmm.
right? And the pictures of this thing we had been talking about prior to the starting the podcast about people doing Photoshops
right.
of certain movies and the Meg. They're having all kinds of fun. I can't tell what's a real post and what's a Photoshop thing of a giant shark eating a surfer.
Right.
Right. So.
Yeah, the Meg does look. It looks really good. It looks really fun. It's got Jason Statham, so that's just quality right there.
The question in my mind is they're spending a lot of money on this movie.
Right.
Well, we were just talking about the trends.
Mm-hmm.
They're spending $150 million.
Right.
On this thing, so it has to do.
This is not Shark. Movies. This is not Sharknado.
No.
This is not Birdemic.
So
they've got some serious coin.
Yep. So that's going to be. They could go down as one of the big flops this year if it does not hit it. But it's a PG-13 movie, so they're going for the broad audience.
Right.
Right. And
so 2010
summer blockbuster.
2010 was the year of the Piranha. 2018 is the year of the Shark.
Mega Shark.
The summer of the Shark. Mega Sharks. Mega Sharks. Smart Sharks.
Yeah.
Next up, 2019. Smart Mega Sharks.
I wonder if the sharks are going to talk.
Hello.
Good night, Bruce.
All right, so what do you got for your number one, or number four on the fearsome foursome?
Well, okay, so
four plus one.
So this one is one of my favorite places when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because my grandmother lived in San Jose, and there's nothing to do in San Jose. But they would have billboards.
Sorry, San Jose earthquakes.
it's not as much money as they have in that city. It's amazing how little there is to do in that city. Billboard.
Mm-hmm.
Winchester Mystery House.
Indeed.
And it was
all the way up and down I-5.
And there was a big skull on the billboard. It's like, Mom, I want to see the Winchester Mystery House, because I am a sucker for roadside attractions. Mom, of course, wouldn't do it. I eventually, years after I started begging as maybe a six-year-old, I was probably 11 by the time my grandmother finally took me to the Winchester Mystery House, and it was so cool. It's this, for those of you who don't know, it's the single biggest single family mansion in the country. It's also just totally batshit crazy. It was continually worked on for some 40 years,
right,
including stairs that go nowhere, rooms with no entries.
By the daughter of the Winchester fortune.
Yes, and who believed that the she was being haunted by the souls of the people that the Winchester rifle killed.
Right.
And so this movie is stars the fantabulous Dame Helen Mirren.
Yep.
As Sarah Winchester. And that tells me that they're going for it relative. They're bringing in a top flight actress to play Sarah, but they're going full on ghosty. They're showing the haunts. It's like, well, I don't know if it really played out like that, but I'm willing to roll with it. The trailers are spectacular. They look the beautiful shot house. I would be curious to see if they must have shot it in the house itself.
And it's a period piece.
It is a period piece, yeah. And it opens tomorrow.
Oh. Boom.
February 2nd opens tomorrow. Worldwide opening tomorrow. So,
all right.
So go check out the Winchester. It looks like it's going to have a little bit of history, but a lot of ghosty, spooky action.
Was your 11-year-old self spooked when you went?
No, not really. Right. I mean, I was expecting actually to be like a haunted house, like you go on Halloween,
right.
And someone's going to jump out and spook me.
Right.
And they don't do that. Right. But they do. My architecture.
Right.
Loving self.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, I'm an architect. I think that it is one of the greatest follies in the country, just as a curiosity. It's an architectural.
Do you know if any of the film was shot on location?
I believe it was.
Or yeah. Did they just shoot the exteriors?
I gotta look a little bit more into it.
Go see the movie.
No, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, go see the movie. You'll find out.
Review soon, hopefully.
Yes. All right.
Okay. What you got? What's your next one?
The next one I'm going with, it's coming out, I guess it's come out, never mind, it has come out. this came out fast. This was January 5th, 2018, so it's already out, and we haven't seen it.
But yeah,
you
can still say, movies that I'm looking forward to in 2018, it was released this year, so
we're stopping the podcast right now. We're going to go watch this movie, and the movie is Day of the Dead Bloodline.
That's on Netflix now.
Can you get it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Oh, good. We'll watch it on Netflix. So this is the second remake of the second seminal, or third seminal, George Romero film, the George Romero classic, which I think came out in 85, 86. So this basically involves, this is sort of like, this kind of follows hot on the heels of Dawn of the Dead, in a world overrun by zombies, military personnel and survivalists come together to live in this underground bunker, and it's sort of the next phase, the next iteration of like what to do with these zombies. They begin to search out a cure for the zombies. Right. And the thing that's great about it is in one of the most wonderful turns,
Bub.
You get Bub. And I don't know if there's going to be a Bub in Day of the Dead Bloodline, but it does look really, yeah, really good. And
we're gonna get Bub.
Oh, you do get Bub. Okay, so you get Bub. That's good. The reviews so far on this ain't great. One review, in fact, said that it is foolish and pointless exercise.
But so is the first Day of the Dead got.
Oh yeah, the first Day of the Dead got panned too. So we'll see. I mean, I'm basing my hope on this film solely based on the Zack Snyder remake, the 2004 Zack Snyder remake of Dawn of the Dead, which was so cool. And I said, you know, that film is absolutely sacrosanct, and you can't remake it. It can't be redone. And boy, was I surprised. And so I'm excited to see. I'm gonna give it a chance.
Yeah, Day of the Dead was, I think, Romero's bloodiest movie.
It was pretty. There's some really gruesome stuff. They stick with the slow moving zombie, but there's definitely some sadism, and definitely some gore, and it doesn't quite have the political tone of Dawn of the Dead, but it's got some elements of it. And you know, I don't know where they originally shot Day of the Dead, but it was a cool.
It was in an underground bunker. And it was a missile silo first time.
Yeah, and it was a really great location. Yeah. So hopefully they find another good one.
One of the things that I just recently saw was The Girl with All the Gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And after I finished that, I was like, what does this remind me of?
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Day of the Dead.
And that's a 2017 flick,
yeah,
correct?
And it was superior acting, mm-hmm, really, but it has that sort of, there's a zombie plague, there's a these semi-zombies that are supposed to be the cure. There's a bunch of scientists trying to figure it out. And there's a, you know, it's a military base. So, right. You know, there's a lot of those kinds of feels to it. Worth checking out. I thought Girl with All the Gifts was a, I thought it was superior to the first day, Romero Day of the Dead. It wasn't quite as gross.
Sure.
So you get like the captain getting his head pulled off, just choke on it. Ah! Which I thought was one of the best Romero deaths. You get buff.
All right. So what do you got for number? This would be your number.
This would be my number three.
Number three. What do you have?
I have a. The tagline for this one was, "They should have gone to Vegas." this is actually this is a little British horror movie that didn't get a U.S. releasing last year, mm-hmm. but it was a huge hit on the Toronto film circuit, and it's called The Ritual.
Ooh.
And it's four British buddies. They go on a hike through Norway as a tribute to one of their mates who was murdered in a robbery. And if you watch the trailer, you'll see that there was just kind of a convenience store shooting, and mm-hmm. this one guy dies. And so as a tribute, this guy loved hiking. And so they all go out to Norway, and they go hiking.
Which is, we all know Norway is scary. Yeah. The birthplace of black metal, and black metal is scary. So that's where they're going.
And they decide...
They deserve what they get.
They wandered into the woods. They decided to take a shortcut because one guy sprained his ankle, and so they go into the woods, and then they see these animals that have been gutted and strung up in the trees, and they say, oh, that's weird. And then they see...
Blair Witch.
Yeah, and then they see some strange carvings in the trees, and they go, oh, that's weird.
More Blair Witch.
And then they get lost, and their compasses don't work. More Blair Witch. and then they start hallucinating and turning on each other.
Nice.
And then there's like Norse demons that come out and besiege them.
I like it.
So yeah, this one looks good and properly scary. And this one,
little dog soldiers, little Blair Witch.
Yeah, I think so. Those kinds of you know, and the bonds of how tight do the bonds of friendship last when things go completely pear-shaped.
Right.
Right. Cool. And that's opening on next week. February the 9th, rated R, and it is a Netflix original.
We are topical, if nothing else.
Yes.
So okay. Topical.
Okay, so you're number two?
My number two, I have a feeling we're going to overlap here because we both love this. We've talked a ton about this whole series, The Nun, coming out on July 13th, 2018. This looks really good. There's no trailer yet. There's no movie poster. I mean, there's a million movie posters out there. There's a million movie posters right out there. They're all fan made, and some of them are better than others. So step up your game, people. But this one looks really great. So this is the story that this is the spinoff of Conjuring 2, and it's going to focus on a demon nun character. This is, of course, the fifth installment of the Conjuring series, and this takes place in the 1950s.
Oh,
it's in Romania. A nun and a Catholic priest are sent by the Vatican to investigate the suicidal death of a nun, where in this monastery, or I guess nunnery, they have to confront Valak.
Huh?
Valak was, of course, the demon nun, and
the demon nun.
Yeah. Valak is the demon has taken the blasphemous, evil, dark form of the nun.
Oh, but this could
also be the most joking. Now, have you seen Annabelle yet?
I haven't.
Okay, so Annabelle seems a little jokey to me. This could be equally jokey. It is a little absurd.
And but neither of the Conjuring movies was jokey at all.
No, neither of the Conjuring movies was jokey. This one could be. I think the nun is pretty scary. I think it's pretty terrifying. Looks a little like Jared Kushner. A little bit. Jared Kushner put on a hoodie. Maybe Kushner.
Little eye black.
A little eye black.
Yep.
He never opens his mouth, so we don't know if his teeth are black and bloody. I don't know. I'm just saying. Okay, what do you got? Number two.
My number two.
Number two.
Yeah. Wonderful trailer for this one.
Yeah.
And this is the tagline for this film doesn't have one.
Ooh.
Which is probably appropriate because this is A Quiet Place.
Ooh, yes.
And so this is a husband and wife team of John Krasinski and the fabulous Emily Blunt are playing parents of a couple of kids, and they are in. They're apparently living in a farmstead in which, if they make any noise, they get descended upon and killed by monsters.
Any noise.
And
to the point where they have put paths down throughout the house to know where the squeaky boards are.
I love that part. That was my favorite part, where they mark the squeaky boards, or where they're putting sand on the path to, to make it as quiet as possible. They're playing Monopoly with felt dice. Everything's so very quiet, and then someone sneezes or coughs, and all of a sudden everybody panics, right? This is going to be a real hard movie to try. It's like at a certain point, it's going to... That staying quiet's got to break down. I mean, at some point, you just hope you don't snore because, you know.
it's got Jim from The Office, though.
Yes.
So, and Jim is, I think he's a good actor. I don't know that he's ever stretched quite this far. He did a lot of rom-com type stuff. I mean, The Office is essentially a giant romantic comedy.
Right.
So, we'll see if this stretches his acting chops at all. I mean, from the trailer, he looks great. I mean, he looks very natural in this type of a role.
And this would be, like, I've seen a lot of Emily Blunt in action-y type movies. She was in The Shallows.
Yeah.
And she was in... Edge of Tomorrow, where she was fantastic. So I'm optimistic. I think it's a great premise. And if you thought that you had to be quiet and don't breathe, this one ups it. It could be the quietest movie ever made.
Yeah.
Who knows? So it'll also sort of, I think, if they decide to go jump scare, I will be really pissed if they do jump scares where they come in with like a violin and start doing the shrieky jump scare music in a movie like this. I think you'd have a seizure.
Right.
So that's that would be my number two.
It's got Jim. No Pam though.
No Pam.
No Pam. Which?
Oh, but
you give and you take. Yeah, you give and you take. All right, so I feel we might overlap here again. I keep saying that, and we haven't yet. But
we did with the Meg.
We did with the Meg, yes, the Meg. Go see shark movies. Shark 2018 is the year for shark movies. You need to see shark movies. June 8th, 2018, Hereditary.
Okay, there we go.
Eric Hipp being in this film. It's on the website, scariestthings.com, 1T. It looks just amazing. Basically, what happens in this film is the grandmother, the matriarch of this family, passes away, and the daughter, the family begins to totally unravel.
Yeah, and the other thing is the grandma was insane.
Right.
And
well, we don't know what grandma's story was. I get the sense, and I don't know, I haven't done a ton of research, and I don't want to spoil anything, but I get the sense there may be some little bit of witchery going on, but there's secrets.
There are tons of secrets. And this movie, it was the most talked about movie at Sundance this year.
Yeah.
And if you Google it, the movie reviewers, the lucky folks who did get to go see it, one of them described it as it's pants-wettingly scary.
Yes.
Right? And this movie looks like it's got it all. This is my thesis, where the mid-budget, well-crafted horror movie comes to play.
Right.
This is your Get Out for this year. I'm banking on that. This one looks like it's got everything going.
Whereas Get Out had some kind of fun elements, it brought in some other qualities, some discussion of race and other things. I don't think there's anything fun about this movie.
No, this one looks like
it looks like a hellish descent into family secrets and very unfortunate, maybe deals with the devil.
Yeah, or the madness certainly.
Yeah,
and the
it's dark. It is dark looking. Super dark.
Babadookie.
Yeah.
Actually, more Babadook than Get Out.
Yeah.
Because the color palette looks very gray.
Yeah,
And it's got another really creepy-looking little girl.
Right.
Who's like, where did you find this kid? She's
that's,
like...
That's some casting.
I want my kids pre-haunted.
Right? That's some casting.
Freaky-looking kid.
And unlike, unlike the last film you just mentioned, the soundtrack is the violin-y sounds like to me, just based on the trailer.
It's atonal, kind of. It's
atonal, violin-y, jump scary, freaky stuff.
Yeah.
Really, like, really dark. Like, in fact, when I was watching the trailer, I got a lot of the same vibe as some of the stuff that Wendy Carlos did in The Shining. The real high pitch. You know,
makes your hair stand on end kind of music.
Super creepy. All right. So what is your number?
My number one.
That was my number one. Yeah, what is your number one?
Well, I actually, that was my, Hereditary was going to be my plus one.
Plus one.
Because I thought that one would have trumped. I really think Hereditary is going to be the scariest thing we're going to get this year.
I think it might be too. Not the Meg. Sorry, Jason Statham.
I'm going to punch that shark.
nice, Jason Statham. That was good.
I try. So this the next movie, the tagline is Fear What's Inside.
Ooh.
Yeah, maybe could have gotten, it's like, I think another one would have been, let's go on an acid trip and go completely loopy.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was, I mentioned this before, this is when we talked about properties that we'd like to see turned into films, and I knew this one was coming out because it's a book that I couldn't get through because it was just too damn dense and too confusing.
Right.
This is Annihilation.
Oh, yeah.
It's...
Also looks good. Really good. I went and watched the trailer based on your recommendation because we talked about Annihilation a couple podcasts ago.
Yeah.
And, it looks really interesting.
It is... It has the pedigree of a tremendous film because it's got Alex Garland is directing it, who did Ex Machina.
It's got his debut. Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Jennifer Jason Leigh and
she stretches as an actress.
Yes,
she really stretches her horizon. She does a lot of cool stuff.
And two current up and coming actresses in Tessa Thompson and Gina Rodriguez.
Yep.
And Natalie Portman, who plays our lead. And, you know, Natalie can be hit or miss, but I think Black Swan proved that if she's going to go spooky, creepy, she can do it pretty well. And this one is
she's not the spooky, creepy.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, she might be.
She might be. I think that
she's kind of the badass.
Yeah, she is. She's playing the Ripley-ish character here, right. but they... So, for an all-female crew that they could send in behind this veil of shimmering light, because apparently the world is collapsing, the ecology of the world is failing, and word is that what's on the other side of this veil is a paradise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to explain, and you go across, and it's not nature as we know it. And they've sent 12 groups in to try and figure out what's going on. Some of them don't come back. Some of them do come back and they're full of cancer. Some come back and they're crazy. And so this time it's like, well, maybe we'll have better luck if we just send women. And so that's part of the premise. Again, I posted a trailer for this on the website, and you can check it out. It would be a very hard movie to describe. I think that the trailer does a really nice job of giving you the visual effect of what's going on. And there's the soundtrack has this kind of electronic warble to it that also plays to the trippy color scheme that they've got going. It's I think the other weird thing is like nobody has a name in this movie. In the book, they didn't have a name. It was like the biologist and the geologist. So I'm thinking this is going to be Blade Runner like. I think this is not going to be a movie that a general population is going to really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be smart.
Although the way the trailer plays out, it seems pretty digestible.
Yeah. So
don't be afraid of Eric's ruminations on the book.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's the trailer.
That's what I'm saying. This is a redemption movie for me because the book
might have been a harsh tug.
I felt like I needed to give this story a chance. And this is another February opening, so I'm glad I got my movie pass because...
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to be spending...
2018 is a good year. It's going to be a good year.
So that's... I think gets us out of our fearsome foursome plus one.
Yes, I think it did. All right, so let's go on to our next segment.
Undead
and Dead. These are a series of four films. We recommend two to you, and we recommend two you stay the hell away from.
Okay, so give me your dead.
My dead? I kind of went thematic this week, not having anything to do, because Well, really, I can't project into the future to tell you what my dead and undead would be, although I probably could just based on the list I gave you. My dead is the 2012 Rob Zombie film Lords of Salem. Again, Rob Zombie is the... Yep, this poor guy. Heart's the right place. He is the... it's got the reverse Midas touch.
Oh, it's a stinky...
This is a film that he wrote, he produced, he directed, it starred his wife, it had Bruce Davidson, had Dee Wallace, had a lot of really interesting folks. Basically, the plot focuses on a female disc jockey in Salem, Massachusetts, whose life becomes intertwined with a coven of Satan worshiping witches. And sounds like a great premise, and it is a super great premise. She is given a record arrives, an actual piece of vinyl arrives at the radio station. She plays it. It's incredibly, the music is incredibly creepy. It's very, very, very eerie. There are some, I will say, the redeeming quality with the film is that there are a whole series of, hallucinations that Sherry Moon Zombie is amidst. Some of them are a little ham-handed. Some of them are a little forced. Some of them are a little too satanic. And I mean, it's hard to say what's too
satanic. Rob Zombie movies, I think the biggest knock I have against Rob Zombie movies is that the acting, they're so cartoonishly broad, and nobody's likable in any of his movies.
Right. And speaking of, to your point about being cartoonishly broad, the Satanism is cartoonishly broad, and it's exactly what you would think if somebody said to you, well, you know, how would you describe Satanism? You would say, well, there's pentagrams and there's a goat and there's flames and voila, you get pentagram and a goat and flames.
Altar and some candles.
Yeah, and there's nothing particularly exciting about it. I will say some of the hallucinations, I mean, they obviously put a lot of time and energy into producing it, and they there's some interesting looks. It gives you some interesting looks, but in total, it's kind of a big snoozeroo.
Yeah, if you're going to do a movie like that, I will recommend, I'll go back to the beginning of our podcast and recommend A Dark Song.
Yeah.
Because that is actually when they talk about, it's not necessarily Satanism,
right,
but it's black magic.
Right.
And they follow the entire, it's like a month-long process of setting up a connection to the beyond, and it's brilliant in the way that they do it, and in a way that you kind of wonder, it's like, is this guy a total shyster, or is he, you know, what's he up to, and do you believe him or not? And then it's a build.
Yeah.
You're going along with the protagonist and trying to gain trust in this occultist who's supposed to put you in touch with your dead son, and then once things start happening, it's great. It pays it off.
Don't see Lords of Salem. Do see
A Dark Song.
A Dark Song. And what else should we not see? What is on the dead list this
My
week?
Dead list. Okay, this is one of my cautionary tales, and this is why sometimes I don't like franchise horror, because
Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 4.
This is The Hills Have Eyes 2.
Oh! The Hills Have Eyes 2 original, Hills Have Eyes 2 remake. Okay.
So now, Hills Have Eyes, the first one, Wes Craven.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And then the second one, which might have been James Wan, to check that. But those are both very effective, hyper-violent, grindhouse. You have to have a strong stomach for them. There's mutant survivors in New Mexico that people stumble across, and they get attacked, and people get badly hurt and raped and killed, and just, but it's an intense cat and mouse game of, you know, travelers get jumped by a bunch of radioactive hillbillies.
Right.
Right. It's not exactly a thespian's paradise in the first
sure.
place. The Hills Have Eyes 2 is offensive and stupid.
Right.
It's
Is Hillside Mice 2 the one with the ragtag group of... The
platoon of soldiers?
Yes.
And I can't tell you... It's like,
I agree. This was 2000... What are we looking at? 2007-ish?
Oh, gosh. I'll have to check. I'll have to IMDb it. 2000s. Yeah, it's a 2000s. But it was the amount of times that someone goes, I gotta take a leak, or I gotta take a shit.
Yeah.
And they get jumped by a crazy radioactive hillbilly. I think it happens at least three times in the movie. And these are supposedly, you know, this is, it's, they're trying to do Dog Soldiers or Southern Comfort or, you know, a rookie platoon of soldiers in over their heads. But they don't, one, they don't look or behave anything like even rookie soldiers. Some of them don't even fit their uniforms very well. I think that may have been on purpose to show how greenhorn they were. But this was an example of the entire cast doing stupid shit. They're just like, their behavior
don't
was...
do stupid shit.
Was totally conducive to getting picked off one by one. And if what you like is a high body count movie, you might like it. But if you like good plot and good acting, you avoid this would lack the plague of radioactive zombies that it is.
Wow. Nice, nice prose there.
Yeah.
All right, so My Undead, the film you should see, you should run out and see. This might be a tough one to get. I know there's copies on VHS. I know there's copies on Laserdisc. I think it's streamed here and there. This is the 1974 classic, Phase 4.
Ooh.
This is a Saul Bass, the writer Saul Bass directed this. I think it was the only thing he actually directed. And it involves desert ants waging war and taking on intelligent properties, not unlike those deep sea 2 sharks. it's an interesting film. It straddles a very fine line of horror and science fiction, but there's some grisly stuff involving the ants killing people. I think it's one of the best Nature Strikes Back kind of films.
Don't the ants have faces?
No, but the interesting thing about it is, and I think a rather clever device that Saul Bass used was he used a lot of super duper close-up nature footage that they got elsewhere, mm-hmm. and that nature footage sort of tells the creates the narration behind the film where the ants are, mm-hmm. Starting to learn. You can see the ants kind of like communicating with each other. You can see the ants starting to strategize and starting to to puzzle out solutions to whatever is in front of them. It's a really interesting film. The soundtrack is super duper cool. Super duper cool. It does devolve into this like very trippy, psychedelic kind of rumination on man's relationship with nature at the end.
Sort of the dawn of the environmental movement kind of
thing. Dawn of the environmental movement. You get almost kind of like a 2001 kind of quality towards the end. But it's a good film. It's really interesting. Again, it straddles sort of that sci-fi horror, but if you're freaked out by bugs and creepy crawlies and ants, this movie is... not for you. No, it is for you.
It is for you. You want to see this one. It is available YouTube, Amazon, Google Plus, and iTunes.
Sweet! See Phase 4, 1974. All right, so what do you got for your Undead?
Undead one. This one is a 2008 movie that actually Mike picked up on DVD when we saw this together. And I thought it was going to be kind of schlocky stupid.
Uh-huh.
But it was. I actually really enjoyed it. This is The Ruins.
Oh, yeah. Ruins is good.
And it's, a group of friends go touring in Mexico and find themselves trapped in this Mesoamerican ziggurat. And this ziggurat seems to not want to let them go anywhere. The locals, there's like the local tribesmen.
People don't use the word ziggurat enough.
Yeah.
We need to slip ziggurat into more conversations. People, that's on you.
That's right.
We need more ziggurat.
Yeah, hashtag that.
Hashtag ziggurat.
Anyway, so there's it plays out. There's a number of movies that are kind of like this. Mm-hmm. So you got The Descent. The Shallows, which we talked about with Emily Blunt, Frozen, not yeah. the cartoon Frozen, but the people stuck on a ski lift yep. chair and turistas, right? So this yeah. is tourists who go where they shouldn't. Right.
Go where they shouldn't. Lots of bad yeah. decisions.
And usually there's
bad decisions, but believable yeah. bad decisions.
Because because they're there to go. They're touring, and they get told of, hey, you want to see? You don't want to go where everybody else goes. I've got this pyramid that's off the beaten path. It's got some really cool stuff to it, and I've heard rumors is that it might be that there's something special about it, and so
it definitely definitely plays to collegiate American tourist hubris.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been partying too much. They're not thinking with clear heads.
And this ziggurat does some strange things to these people, and it. And, you know, I think to say too much would be to spoil it, but they're not all getting off the top of the pyramid, so.
It's gory, it's gross, and, I mean, this isn't going to spoil anything, but you really don't know what's going on with the ziggurat, even at the end of the film.
Right.
So, which is kind of cool.
There's not much exposition because the people who know about it don't speak a lick of English.
Right.
And you
don't get to peer into their world
right.
at all.
So you don't necessarily see what's coming. So
And it's a good book. It is a good book. I read the book. Oh. I read The Ruins. Solid book. Very, very scary.
Did it play through the movie?
Straight up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll close it for episode 8.
Yes.
So,
Yay!
We made it through! Every time we do one of these things, we celebrate because we can't believe we've done it. Until next time we meet, make sure that you have a full tank of gas and that your ignition wires are properly hooked up.
Yes.
Because you never know when you might need to make a speedy getaway.
All right.